Love your neighbor as yourself, a commandment of scripture, but sometimes difficult to interpret. How far does our obligation go? After all, who is our neighbor? Do you even know all your neighbors? If not, how can you love them? What do these words really mean, to love our neighbor? Listen to this tale and decipher for yourself. Early one evening, a successful young man from Cary decided to drive to Crabtree Mall to get his girlfriend a birthday present. So he got into his brand new red convertible and headed out. But he heard on 101.5 that his usual route was closed off. So he decided to go a different way. He thought, I can go through the crazy, dangerous area of Samaria to get there. Heck, it's early enough. I should be okay. He figured this was his best bet, since the detour around the city would take so much longer. Well, the area he had to cut through was known for its gang warfare and biker bars, and he had chosen the completely wrong time to go through, as young punks started to gather for their nightly escapades. At a red light, the young man stopped and found himself in the middle of a gang war. The gang member from one group took a shot at his enemy across the street, and the young man in the red convertible was the unfortunate barrier between them. The bullet barely grazed his shoulder, and he cried out in pain, managing to pull over and stop his car. He got out of his car, intending to go get help, but in his weakened condition, attracted the wrong kind of attention. A couple of kids looking for some quick drug money noticed his stupor and decided it would be easier to give him a couple of punches than to try to break into a store. They also noticed his car keys and the car running close by and put two and two together. Soon, he was out of a car, a cell phone, and a wallet. By the time they were gone, he was in rough shape and lay smashed and dirty on the sidewalk. He lay there for what seemed like hours, but was only a few minutes. He was thrilled when he looked up and saw a pastor from one of the local churches walk by. Help, Father, he cried out feebly. But the minister crossed over the other side of the street and did not even look his way. The minister did not usually walk this way, but he was on his way to an ecumenical meeting for all the various churches in his diocese. Unfortunately, it was in one of the rougher areas of town, and he wasn't used to this environment. He wished he had been able to find parking closer, but he had been forced to walk several blocks to his destination. He saw the man lying down a few feet away, and he felt nervous. Who knew what that man had been imbibing in order to be that intoxicated? Often, these people were dangerous and unpredictable. Just for security's sake, he crossed over to the other side of the street. He was already late for his meeting. About a half hour later, a frequent church-going lady walked by in a rush. She was carrying a Bible, and the injured man thought for sure she would help him. He tried to cry out to her, but she did not stop to help. Instead, she put her nose up in the air and quickly walked away in horror and disgust. The woman had lived on that street for years and had seen everything decline in the last decade. Every day she heard of more horrors on the nightly news, and it made her sick. She had once been proud to live here, but now she lived in fear. She was tired of being lambasted by these bums. She looked at him in disgust, angry at the way the country was going, and hurried home to her little apartment, safe with bars on the windows and a good security system. Now, as he was almost passing into unconsciousness, the young man caught a glimpse of a very tall man wearing a jean vest covered with decals, biker pants, and a scarf with a skull and crossbone on it around his neck. This fellow stood about 6'5" and must have weighed 280. The young man would have been afraid of this man under different circumstances, but he had no fear, only curiosity. He said, "I wonder what kind of bike he drives." The man had parked his Harley Davidson and decided to hoof it to the bar where he was going to relax for a few hours. He had a hard week at the mill and was looking forward to forgetting his troubles with some good friends. Later, he would grab a cab and pick up his bike in the morning. No one on the street would dare to touch his bike. Just as he neared his destination, he noticed a young man who looked like he'd been beaten up pretty badly. Feeling sorry for him, the biker went over and gently felt for a pulse. Yes, he was alive. "Are you okay?" he whispered, not wanting to startle the young man. "Not really," the young man replied. The biker said, "Let me call you an ambulance. You look like you're in pretty bad shape." He used his cell phone to call 911 and waited with the young man until the ambulance arrived and paid the ambulance driver the $500 fee. "Take my cell phone," the biker told the young man, "and use it to call your mom and dad and girlfriend about where you are. And here's a couple of $100 to tide you over until you get all your IDs straightened out. Sorry what happened to you, man. Those guys were jerks." The young man left in the ambulance and went to the hospital using the borrowed cell phone to call his family. And much later, the biker stopped by the hospital to check on the young man and pick up his phone. "How can I repay you?" the young man asked. "Don't worry about it," the biker told him. "There are still a few good guys left in this world." Do we hear what Jesus is telling us in the Good Samaritan parable? Can we look deeply into our hearts where God is speaking to us? Can we open our arms to those who are in need, even if they are different than we are? Perhaps that is the only way that Jesus' parable will really mean what God intends it to mean for you and me right now. Amen.